You know, there's people around us that you think of them, and a particular thing sticks in your mind. Ula, with a lot of us, it was several cars that she went through always had the same license plate. Remember what the license plate was? Proverbs 3:5. That's all it said. There wasn't room for and 6, I don't think, but that's Ula. You know, and I was thinking, well, for myself, I have several object lessons that keep coming back because they're so good. And when you think of me in the future, maybe you'll think back about these object lessons. Not to remember Dan. This wasn't original with me. First time I heard this taught, it was with this object lesson. So I am giving credence, not just to somebody else that had the courage to bring the object lesson, but really to God and what he has invested in the riches of certain words. We're in Philippians chapter 1 this morning. I would like to read that and then go on into this teaching from verse 27. Rehearsing where we were a couple of weeks ago, verse 21, Philippians 1, 21, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake, and convinced this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. So, what is our Greek word? Axios. Translated in verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I want to pull axios out of its immediate context for the moment and then come back and place it in its context. Axios, used in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians in this very manner. Axios is a word literally meaning to bring up the beam on the balance beam. Something like this scale. I was never involved in scaling things in the drug world. I was doing dumb things, but I wasn't there. But it has been used in the world of commodities forever. You put however much the commodity is you want on the one side, and you bring up the beam. This is what you owe. Bring up the beam. Axios is used in several scriptures that I want to just quote to you that might help the understanding of the word itself. Luke 3:8, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance to the Pharisees and the scribes. John 1:27, John said, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Jesus and who he is, I'm not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. Luke 23:15, Pilate said, nothing deserving death has been done by this man. Deserving, same word as worthy, axios. Nothing worthy of death has been done by him. Pilate, pagan, politician. Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present time are on the upper side of the scale this time. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Here's what you're going through. It doesn't even come close to bringing up the beam about what's coming in your future. Axios. Ephesians 4:1. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling you've been called. Now walk in a manner that brings up the beam. Philippians 1:27, we just read it. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Colossians 1:10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him. To please him in all respects. Bring up the beam. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. His own kingdom and glory he's invited you to and is invested in you is on this side. Now, walk in a manner that's worthy of that kingdom citizenship. From axios, we get our English word axiom, meaning self-evident truth or proposition, a recognized truth, an established principle, axiom. And according to an old Webster's dictionary, the word ask was originally spelled A-X and comes from the same word axios. There is something to be known, and you don't know it, so ask. Bring up the beam. Pretty rich word. Pretty rich word. I would say it would be accurate to include in this present text, and every time where you're told we're commanded to walk in a manner worthy, that God intends for his sons and daughters to be like, to think like, to act like, to talk like. You are a child of God, so don't be like a child of this world. Don't think like a child of this world. Don't act like a child of this world. Don't talk like a child of this world. Ephesians 4:1, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 5, you used to be in the darkness. Now you're a child of the light. Don't even talk about those things that you used to do of which you're now ashamed. Our life should be transformed. And praise God for the process that he started in us. And I'm sorry, but all of us spin out at times and do really stupid things that are worthy of a child of darkness, not a child of light. We base a lot of our actions, Michael said it last hour, on feelings instead of truth from God. I feel this. Well, so what? It's called self-delusion. It's not walking in truth. Walk in a manner, bring up the beam to your calling. Later on in Philippians, he tells us that we are citizens of heaven. So act like it. Praise God for the process and for his patience and for his mercy. His patience that peels back one layer at a time, one level at a time. Okay, we dealt with this. Great. You haven't quite arrived yet. We're going to work on the next chunk. And here it is. And yours is different than mine. And God is interested in at work in every one of us that know Jesus as our Savior. Every one of us. We justify even language that we use. Well, I'm around all these workers and they don't understand another language, so I use that language. And I say, really? God says, don't let a rotten word come out of your mouth. Whew. Even my mouth, what I say, my actions, even my thoughts that cause feelings need to be brought under a control that is worthy of the Lord who's invested himself in you. Okay, now let's put it back in its context. Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Be reminded of the context. Paul says, I'm in prison. I'm going to be delivered earlier in this chapter. It might be life and might be by death, but I'm going to be delivered. And to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't care about me. I think I'm going to hang on in the flesh some more, though, because it's good for you guys. I'm working in your life, is what he said. I've read that to you already. But he's in prison. And he's saying, you know what? Between now and then, if I get to come and see you, or if I have to remain absent, conduct yourselves in a right way. The Philippian church, apparently at this time, was a very healthy church. Because he doesn't address any big issues they've got going on. There's two ladies that can't get along in chapter 4, and he addresses them by name. Workers for the Lord. They just got something going on where they either need to forbear or forgive or do something to work together. But for the most part, he's applauding them as a church. They're doing well. And he's telling them, continue in this. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, because he didn't really know the future, I may hear of you that you are, and here's several items, and I want you to try to grip on here, that you together, Michael, thank you for that introduction during your fine teaching last hour. Talked about harmonious out of 1 Peter 3:7. Being harmonious. For those who are here, pick up that thread and let's move forward. Striving together. Instead of striving like Yodi and Syntyche in chapter 4, their striving is keeping them separate. They can't get it together to work together. You are one body. So you're striving together, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Something going on here that I brought out last Wednesday night. Last Wednesday, starting this teaching of the deity of Christ, I went to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and then Deuteronomy chapter 6. We went into Psalm 2 to show that God was preparing us to understand that he is one and only God, but within his oneness there is teamwork. There is what's called the Ikad. We understand, bringing the New Testament truth into it, it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the oneness of God. The word Ikad, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and that's Ikad. Israel went out as one man, same word, as one team. Multiplicity in the one. So also here, you are one local church of Philippi and you're doing great. I want to hear that you're continuing to go to do well. But the teamwork, standing firm together in one spirit, with one mind, it's literally one soul striving together for the faith of the gospel. We've got a purpose and we're moving in a direction. We know who we are. We know where we're going. And so this is really telling us, now get on it. I'm imagining, in a more modern day analogy, for some of you love sports, well, I don't care, pick your sport. Imagine the team huddled around that head coach who's been training them. They've had the blood, sweat, and tears together. Now they're in uniform, and it's D-Day. It's time. And that final pep talk. You know who you are. You know what to do. Now do it. Striving together, standing firm together. Kind of impossible to do when you're broken up into factions and opinions and political stances and blah, 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 blah. All the stuff that creeps in that separates us. Paul says, man, I want to hear that you guys are standing firm and striving together for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel. What is the purpose in this striving forward? It is that others, and he's already said it, hey, I'm in prison, don't worry about it. I told the whole Roman guard system about Jesus. Just after that, he talks about them and their sharing the faith of the gospel. The striving together is growing in the Lord, standing firm, not being swayed one way or the other. What is the truth from God? Stand in it. Walk in it. If you don't like it, your complaints with God, we're moving this direction. But striving together for the faith is sharing it with others also. Together, our purpose here in this life as citizens of heaven while we're still pilgrimaging right here on the planet. Paul, the head coach, is saying, guys, you're doing well. Keep moving forward. You know who you are. You know what to do. You've been being trained. And by the way, Philippians 1:6, it's God's program of starting a work in you and continue it to the day of redemption. That's individual that make up the whole. He has begun a good work in you, plural. He's not done. In no way alarmed by your opponents. Teams always have opposition. In this particular case, it is a light versus darkness opposition. He, like Jesus, is saying, don't be surprised. In fact, expect it. Two things that this shows in this running context. That their opponents shows their decided position at this point as opposing who you stand for, and that's the living God. And they might make your life miserable. It's a sign of destruction for them because God has said that's what is going to happen in the future. There is no other option. But it's a sign of blessing for you. Why? Because God has promised a future for you. And a glory that the striving here isn't going to bring up the beam about. Yeah, it's nothing to compare to. For what is coming. In no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, that's what God said, but of salvation for you, that too from God. For to you it has been granted, it has been gifted for Christ's sake. This is not about you, this is about him. Not only to believe in him, what a gift God has given us, that made it possible for us to even believe because we could not approach God otherwise. None can seek him, Romans 3 declares from the Old Testament. None can seek him. It is him who has sought us, him who has gifted us with the ability to believe and gifted us also to suffer for his namesake. Darn, why was that included here? Because it's a guarantee there's going to be opposition. You don't have to go out looking for the opposition. You don't have to drum up an opponent. You just move forward in the life that he's invested in you. You move forward. And don't be surprised at the opponents. You're going to be suffering like he suffered. You don't have to go looking for it. It's going to come naturally because that opposition has been designed for a long time by a pretty ugly and diabolical enemy. and he wants to get in and stop you. He wants to get in and separate. He wants to get in and shatter your faith and trust even in God. Don't be surprised when the enemy comes knocking and yelling or whispering. Don't be surprised. That's the enemy. Label him for who he is. He's also got workers. Now, there's another really cool side to this. Suffering for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me. Earlier in the chapter, verse 12, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that in my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Hallelujah. Here at verse 30, experiencing the same conflict you saw in me, even as you live out that gospel and share that gospel. The other really, really cool part of this whole work is there are opponents that are savagely against your Lord, who then come to know him, like Saul of Tarsus. Would you please turn with me? I want to read a list. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, a list of opponents. And then I'm going to open it up for discussion. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if we go around the room, you know, I'm going to have to put a check in one of the boxes here, or maybe two of them, and you might have to put a check in another different box than mine, but you know what? We're on the same list. But look at this. And such were some of you. But you've been washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. This opponent doing that stupid stuff, opposing your Lord and Savior, opposing truth. Guy went and got saved. Came under that same banner. He's part of this kingdom work. Hallelujah for that. And he didn't do that because you met him on his ground and participated in what he was doing. If he has used you and me, it's because of a new kind of a walk that's in us. And that is standing firm in what you know is true, walking it out in a manner worthy of that calling. This is a sign of on how. Okay, let's see what your attitude and actions and words. Bring up the beam. Act accordingly. And you know what? It's going to convince somebody. Wow, there must be meat there. Real something other than just fluff. Must be life there. Must be something there. I want what you have. I was telling Ron yesterday the story of Warren Goins buried in their little cemetery up here, who finally said, I want what you have. Just a short time before he died. Walk in a manner worthy. It's good for you. It's worth it in the long run. Let's open up for discussion. Questions and comments.
Part of the problem I see with that is once that beam is leveled, it's not welded or anything. It can still move.
Thank you.
It's an ongoing.
It's a process. I like it. Exactly. And that doesn't excuse anything.
Right.
That reminds us, oh yeah. By the way, are you bringing the bean? I don't care about yesterday. You can't change yesterday. What about today? Right? And that's what matters. You can't even plan for tomorrow. It's like, what about today? Bringing up that beam. Yes, Beth?
Yeah. Not too long before my father retired, his last number of years that he worked at a Bible school, and he was the manager of what they called the staff store. It was kind of like a souf store for the staff. If you know what souf was. They had a purchaser who would go out and get some damaged goods or this or that or bulk items, and then they could reduce the cost for the staff members. And one of the things they did was they got flour and sugar and other things in very big bags, and so they would put them in smaller allotments. And he had a balance beam like that with the weights on it. He loved it. And then they modernized, and they bought him a fancy electronic one, you know, with the lights, and, you know, it's about this big, and you put your stuff on the scale, and it takes you. Nothing like the balance beam for accuracy. So I just wanted to say that, because we tend to think, oh, that's what they did in the old days before they had technology and they could be accurate. But, you know, for everyday measuring stuff, it was like this, equal.
Thank you.
You really like that. And then I have a question. Where it talks about verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them. What is the sign?
They're opposing.
Their opposition.
Their opposition.
Okay. I was having a hard time.
Their opposition is the sign, because God said opposition means judgment. And their opposition means they're opposing something that you stand for, and that's a sign for you that you're in the truth. I hope so. I pray so. The test is when you leave that door, though. Excuse me, when we leave that door. God. A number of the songs that we did this morning just are coming back to this. In this Bible, obviously, but in this chapter, in this passage, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, who's invited us into who he is. It's not about our glory. It's not about our performance, in fact. I can't do this on my own without the Spirit of God in me, the truth of God in me, and walking that out. And thankfully, I've got the Lord doing that. We would call that his grace. Thank you, Lord.
Pastor, read one more. Jenny?
I didn't see Jenny. I'm sorry.
I just want to say, I've been following things on the internet, and more people are coming to Christ, explaining their love for him and seeing it, and it's just heartwarming to see these things come out from people that you would never think would turn to him.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. He works in ways that are so far beyond us, and times